It is game day, Saskatchewan. Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday afternoon on a CFL doubleheader on TSN right now. The Argos are beating the BC Lions 35-24. And then at 5 o'clock on TSN, the second half of their doubleheader, it's the game of the week. It is the 8-1 Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the 6-3 Calgary Stampeders. And gentlemen, you might remember what happened the last time out when these two teams met. It was a Friday night game that didn't happen because of smoke. And then it was 24-10. The Stampeders beat the Riders at Mosaic Stadium. And Corey Mace was quite blunt on his thoughts after that game.
Belt to ass. We got whooped. And that's what it is.
They got whooped. And Belton, like that Michael Jordan meme, I think they took that personally.
Oh, I'd take it personally, right? And, you know, I that's all I was thinking about this entire week was that week six game, right? And, you know, that's the first time I think, you know, up to this point and everything that I seen a team that was soft. The Riders, they were soft, especially in the trenches. I saw where the O-line, they were coming off the ball and everything, and it was the Calgary defensive players just coming up and smacking them around. I saw O-linemen 300-plus pounds getting pushed back. I'm like, man, that's not good, right? And the D-line, I think up to that game right there, they were only rushing 3-4 guys. They weren't getting any pressure and everything, right? So, yeah, belt the ass. That's what I would say today. Yesterday, the day before on that too, Jamie.
Yeah.
So, Daryl, do you think it drives them to victory today?
Yeah, they don't say much about it very often, but you can tell that that's sticking in their craw a little bit. And it was. It was a whooping. It's the only one they've absorbed. They got bullied. They got out beaten up physically on both sides of the ball and haven't allowed it since. It makes it more than the game of the week, Jamie. So far, this is the game of the year.
Last week felt like a game of the year with the Tiger Cats, and then
what happened?
The Riders just throttled them from the second to the end of the game, outscoring them 29-3 the rest of that game after being down 6-0 early against the Tiger Cats. So we'll see what they deliver in Calgary today, as Trevor Harris was asked if they have a little revenge on their mind or not.
Yeah, very much so. But, you know, it's the next game on the list. And that's really where our focus is going to be, is making ourselves the best team we can possibly become this week and tee it up on Saturday against Calgary, who's a great team this year. And we're excited about the challenge. And it'll be a fun one. And one of those ones where you probably circled this one as the season's gone on. Maybe not before the season. A lot of people didn't think Calgary's going to be very good, but they've proven everybody wrong, and they're a top team and a Grey Cup contender, and so it's going to be a fun one.
Speaking of that, their defense better than I think a lot of people expected. What have you seen from them that's made them so successful so far?
They're very good at what they do, and they understand what they're trying to do and how to attack people, and they read routes really, really well. They have a couple good players that, you know, make things difficult, that are rob situations, and they play with great leverage and understand timing and depths of certain routes, and so and they have a good front, and so they have all the makings of it, but it's a great challenge for us, and we look forward to bringing the fight to them.
Yes, indeed. The Riders, from everybody I talk to, are looking forward to getting one back on the Calgary Stampeders.
We're still trying to figure what happened that game. There's no way the Riders should have lost that game. You know, it was. Should we go home? Should we go home tonight and let's play this one again tomorrow afternoon? And you know, they got to go home though. You're right. And the Calgary Stampeders were stuck in Regina, didn't have a hotel. They had to find places to stay. They were at the dorms at the University of Regina, which aren't the most comfortable spots for big football players. Had to get team meetings, buses, meals. Yep. Should have been a blowout for the Rough Riders, and they just showed up soft. They haven't been soft at all since then, as Belton alluded to. They just haven't allowed themselves. I think it was a great lesson for them, and that's the way they looked upon it, didn't it?
It was definitely a great lesson because, again, you up to this point here, the Riders, they are the hottest team, I would say, right? And the defense, my God, like, I don't know who's going to hit you in the mouth, you know, and the number of sacks they've gotten. Haven't allowed what touchdowns in what two games?
Two full games.
Yeah. Like, that's, I don't know. And it was, everything happened after that Stamps game that they lost, right? So to me, this game today is, I feel like it's, I don't want to say a measuring stick, but, you know, you got to go out there and show some moxie today.
Well, I was looking at the numbers, right, with the Rough Riders, especially their defense, because their offense has been pretty consistently near the top of the table, so to speak, for the Rough Riders. So after that week six game, it's interesting. The CFL stats does do like a conglomerate ranking. Where do you rank in points given up and offensive touchdowns and all those things? And they tabulate if you're first, you get 1 point, and mm-hmm. the lowest one is ranked. After that week six loss, the Rough Riders were ranked seventh defensively, fifth for points allowed, sixth in offensive touchdowns, eighth in net allowed against the offense for the defense. Now, when you look at where the Rough Riders are ranked after just, what,
four games?
Weeks, yeah.
Four more.
They have jumped up to number one, second in points allowed, second in offensive. And this is since that point. Yeah. So since that point, they are number one in every defensive category over the last 5 weeks. That is how good and how much of a maybe wake-up call that Stampeder game was. One of those defensive players that's picking it up is, of course, Mike Rose, the former Calgary Stampeder, is back in Calgary. Looking forward to seeing some green at McMahon today.
I expect them to be rowdy, man. Calgary don't never have no fans anyway. They know that. I was there. It is what it is. They're fair weather fans. It is what it is. But, yeah, man, I hope to see a lot of green.
Yeah. Mike Rose is back in Calgary. And
he told me it's the first time he's been back since he played there. I said, what are you looking forward to? Hopkins, the longtime equipment manager, who's always in shorts on the sideline. He said, nah, not too many other people, he said. So, yeah, he was a little bit more flamboyant this time than he was the first time when he was meeting the Stampeders here. And maybe that's a good sign because they didn't play that well when the Stampeders were here, so maybe they're a little bit more fired up this time around.
Yes, indeed. I found that funny for Mike Rose. Already getting, you know, people on social media telling me a lot of green around Calgary today, heading into McMahon Stadium at 5 o'clock. Govind, who has called the post-game show a few times, he lives in Calgary, as a Rider fan says, he is over 100 people, Rider fans, going to this game, part of his group. Getting group tickets together.
It's easy to find tickets there. That's what.
Well, they're over 25,000 sold, good. Thankfully.
Yes, because that was that to me. That's still Edmonton and Calgary is still the they're most worrisome of the franchises. You know, you look at Toronto and they're not huge, but they don't expect to be. Calgary and Edmonton have fallen off the face, fallen off a cliff in terms of attendance the last few years because they haven't been great teams. So the fact that they're getting 25,000. Probably helped by the Rough Riders being there really is a good thing for the Canadian Football League and especially for the Stampeders.
All right. One of the other big storylines this week in Rider Nation, even though they are 8-1, there is a blemish. A lot made of the kicker from his three missed field goals in last week's game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So they brought in a new kicker. Campbell Fair arrived midweek.
You know, as an organization, we're going to look at everything. And, you know, it's not saying anything other than we got another guy on the roster. So we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, certainly, like I said, I think you guys know how I feel about Brett.
And Brett Lawther, again, he talked to reporters. He talked to reporters three times this week after the game and then day one of practice. And then after they signed Campbell Fair and opened the locker room, he made himself available again to talk about it. Said he's going to be a great teammate to Campbell. Campbell Fair was in a couple of years ago as a practice roster kicker. They know each other. They have a relationship. He said, I'm going to be as good of a teammate to everything. But there is one thing Brett Lawther doesn't like. Brett Lawther does not like, and he understands why people are talking to him, but he doesn't like that he has been a distraction for an 8-1 team.
No, I feel selfish taking away time here to do interviews when we should be talking about, you know, all the successes of the team and the coaches and, you know, everything Craig Reynolds to J.O. to what Trevor's doing and all the receivers. There's so many good stories and instead, you know, selfishly taking up time to talk about how bad I am at kicking a football. So,
yes. Brett, he was up front. People are asking him what's wrong. He's like, if I knew I was wrong, it'd be fixed by now. He's baffled by it. He's frustrated by it. But he's being as professional as he can be
he always
in this
is.
Situation.
And that's good, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the thing about football, fellas. I know that was one thing we asked last week, Jamie, was, you know, do you think they're going to bring somebody in? Are they going to release mm-hmm. them? And yeah. I'm glad they brought somebody in because mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that could light a fire under somebody maybe. Sometimes, right?
Yeah. I didn't think they were going to. Listening yeah. to Corey Mace, the head coach afterwards, the yeah. support he has for them. But they decided, I guess, the next day on Monday night that or 2 days later, let's get somebody in here. Jeremy O'Day, when I talked to the general manager this week, said that, you know, we all respect him. Of course we do. He's been the best, the mm-hmm. most accurate kicker in team history. But when he had one bad game last year, we talked about that. But we never want to be caught in a situation where we're not going to get the job done by the guy who we expect to get the mm-hmm. job done. And yeah. Brett knows our expectations. That's exactly what Jeremy O'Day told me. So they know, and so does he. He's no fool. He yeah. knows exactly what they expect from him, and they don't expect 66.6% success rate from a kicker. It's the lowest in the league. That's not who he is, and that's not what he's been. But if that's all they've got, then they have to make a change. I thought, and I argued this last week, if you're going to make a change, bring in somebody and move on. That's yeah. what they do in the NFL, right? They just move somebody on and say, we got somebody who's here. And that way you give the new guy confidence. Or maybe he's uncertain, but you also say, we've made our move. This is what mm-hmm. we're doing.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. This is a weird one. This is kind of, now we're all kind of in limbo. What's going to yeah. happen? Does Brett Lawther get one more game? What if he goes 4 for 5 but misses a 30-yarder? What's going to happen now? I don't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know. Neither does Campbell Fair or the team. I don't think they're really left this up in the air, and I don't think they've made a decision. They've just confused the fact a little bit more.
Well, if you weren't expecting a bold prediction around Brett Lawther today, I don't know if you've been paying attention for the last 12 seasons of the Green Zone pregame show as we've done bold predictions. Brett Lawther, how does he do today? Kicks made, kicks attempted, longest make, shortest miss. Now, that also includes PATs today. Mm-hmm. So all the kicks attempted.
Oh, okay.
All the kicks made. So, but just in, I was just thinking, what if they score 5 touchdowns and he doesn't kick a field
against
goal?
That defense?
Yeah, probably not. but
you said that includes
extra points.
Yeah.
I am leading, so I'll go first. 65 points for me, 59 for Darryl, 57 for Belton Johnson, who stormed back a few weeks ago with a 13-point day on bowl predictions. I'm going to go, he will attempt 6 kicks. He will make 5. His longest make will be from 52 yards. His shortest miss is going to be 30. How long is a PAT? I think he misses one PAT.
32.
I should have looked up how windy it is in Calgary.
He'll go 6 of 6, Jamie.
6 of 6.
He's going to prove all y'all wrong.
Longest make.
You said 52. I'm going to go 46.
And no misses.
No misses.
For Brett Lawther.
Nope.
Darryl Davis.
6 for 7.
Longest make.
53. What do you guys say for misses?
I said
He said 0. He's not going to miss.
What'd you say?
I said 32. He's going to miss the PAT.
Oh, okay. 40.
40 yard. All right. We'll see how Brett Lawther does. Also, another storyline is history could be made today with a Rough Rider victory. Never before has a team from Saskatchewan started a season 9-1. They're 8-1 in 2013 with Darian Durant and company. They went on to win the Grey Cup that year, but then when they started 8-1, they went on a 4-game losing streak actually after that 8-1 start. Never before has a Saskatchewan Rough Rider team started 9-1. They could make some franchise history with a win at McMahon this afternoon. Coming up here on the Green Zone, Britton Gray's All or Nothing on a friendly rivalry growing between the Riders' top two receivers who just so happen to be roommates. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show, getting you set for the Riders and the Stampeders in the game of the week. No question about that for week 12 in the Canadian Football League with the 8-1 Rough Riders and the 6-3 Calgary Stampeders. Though I have an asterisk around the Stampeders 6-3 record, let's keep in mind when Vernon Adams starts and finishes games for the Stamps this year, they are 6-1. Two losses. One had P.J. Walker play most of a second half, and the other loss was P.J. Walker's first start, and he was awful against the Ottawa Red Blacks. So with Vernon Adams full goal, we'll see what happens at McMahon. 5 o'clock is the kickoff, but right now it's time for Britton Gray's All or Nothing, and this week he talked to Dante Meyers and Keyshawn Johnson. The Riders' 1-2 receivers are having quite the competition on the field and off the field as roommates.
Both Keyshawn Johnson and Dante Meyers came into last season as CFL rookies. But this past offseason, as they got set to return to Regina, Meyers says the two decided to be roommates.
Well, we both got close last year, but I stayed with J.R. Stearns and he stayed with somebody else. But we just knew in the offseason we got close last year. In the offseason, we always talked, we stayed close. And when it was time to come back up here and find somewhere to stay, it just made sense for us. You know, we always play space. We always spend time with each other. So it just made sense. We might as well just.
And once they started to live together, Meyer says things organically became competitive between them.
Because it's crazy because we both, you know, grew up similar. We share each other's stories. And it's like, well, we had the same childhood, grew up similarly, just on opposite coasts in the States. You know, he's from the West Coast. I'm from the East Coast, you know. But it just, that's just how we were raised. You know, we're both close to our fathers. And, that's just the kind of men we are. We're just competitive, and that just in turn, just every day is something to compete at. But it's friendly competition, though.
Johnson also says the competition between the two just bloomed as soon as they got to the Queen City.
Once we got here, we started going to grocery stores, started cooking, and it's just, you know, I mean, a friendly competition. Just, you know, I mean, both of us messing around, having fun with it.
And so, who is the better cook? Well, that depends who you ask.
I am. You are? Yeah, I'm calling me.
It has to be me. It has to be me.
How about when it comes to video games?
Me. He doesn't even have a system.
What games are you playing?
Okay. When it comes to, like, first-person shooter game, things like that, that's me. When it comes to, like, NCAA sports games, that's him.
The two have also been locked in a spades game that has lasted months.
We have a current spades game going on with a notebook that's still in the living room. And we're actually competing against each other. My partner, Sam Emulis, and his partner, Dale Duncan Bugsby. And me and Sam are up right now. But it gets real competitive. It's rolled over from last year.
Johnson believes the competitions at home between the two has also helped lead to success on the field.
It's only going to make us push, you know what I mean, push harder through from week to week, each week, because we hold ourselves to a higher, you know, to a high standard. If you, a guy like Dante holds himself to a high standard, me hold myself to a high standard. So, you know what I mean, if we push each other in a room, that's only going to push each other on the field versus another opponent.
And those results have been seen for the two as both find themselves among the CFL's best on the leaderboards. Johnson currently sits fifth in receiving yards with 682, while Meyers is not far behind him with 641 yards and sitting at seventh. Meyers does hold the edge in touchdowns over Johnson by a 5-3 margin.
We also, you know what I mean, feel happy for each other and, like we said, want each other to both have the success.
Johnson believes the team as a whole is extremely close this season, which has led to their 8-1 record.
We say we're a close-knit team. Like, even, you know, defense and offense hangs out. You know, we go hang out with the DBs. We go hang out. I talk to a lot of O-linemen. I talk to defensive linemen. It doesn't matter, linebackers, whoever on the team. We're a close-knit team. And that only, you know what I mean, being only team that I've been on like this as a championship team. Like, that's what I've been around from college. And once we were so close, you know, hanging out off the field, everything translates on the field, and we celebrate for everybody.
So this week, the two will look to add on to their impressive seasons as the Riders take on the Calgary Stampeders. Calgary is the only team to beat the Riders this season, knocking off Saskatchewan 24-10 at Mosaic Stadium back in July.
You know, we let the fans down in our home stadium, and that's not a product that we like to put out there. And so we're looking to go out there in Calgary and redeem ourselves.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
A great story from Britton Gray on All or Nothing on the two roomies, Dante Meyers and Keyshawn Johnson. Does it get competitive in the room over all those little things, video games?
Yeah.
Ping pong table?
Ping pong cards, video games.
You're competitive guys, right?
I would even say, yeah, the cooking as well, right? It gets, hey.
Was there any doubt that you were the best cook, or have you grown as a chef over the last, since retirement maybe?
So even in college, They knew who the cook was, then. They knew it. So,
Belton the cook.
So there was no question.
Zero.
Belton was the chef of the team.
He'd win in this group too, by the way. Easily.
You haven't tried Britton Gray's mac and cheese hot dogs.
Oh.
He told us about that.
Remember when he had to fill in for Belton?
Yeah. Oh, the craft dinner.
The craft dinner hot dog. That was a tailgating tip.
That was a classic, and a bunch of people text in. So I've had that.
What you want to do is boil the water, throw the hot dogs in. Yeah,
he had a trick to it. I don't know. I think he mixed them all. Did he mix them?
Cut up the hot dogs, mix it all in there.
It was a classic.
Meanwhile, we have a much, much better tailgating tip for you today here on the Green Zone pregame show. But directly ahead, we'll go behind enemy lines and talk to a former Rough Rider taking on his former team, as I'm sure Miles Brown enjoyed that Week 6 victory in Mosaic Stadium. He's coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis and Belton Johnson, as the BC Lions and Toronto Argonauts tangle at BMO Field. It is the Argos up 42-30, but Nathan Rourke just romped for about 40 yards downfield as they threaten to pull within five of the Argos right now. They're deep in Toronto territory. Now we'll keep you up to date ahead of the 5 o'clock kickoff for the Riders and the Calgary Stampeders in the second half of this doubleheader on TSN.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
Each and every week, I'm able to talk to a member of the opposition up against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And this week, I was able to chat with Miles Brown. Of course, started his career in Saskatchewan for 3 seasons before signing with the Calgary Stampeders this offseason. And I wanted to know what it was like in his return back to Mosaic Stadium along with a win.
It was good to be back, to be around some good friends and some good old teammates. I really enjoyed it, but of course enjoyed the win more than anything.
So what do you expect this week? Because the Riders are still the target. They're still at the top of the league, so you guys want to send a message. But you got them last time, so they want to send a message. What should we expect Saturday afternoon?
Oh, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a nice battle between both teams. I think that they're going to come in here. They're going to try to give us our best shot. We plan to show up. We plan to do our jobs as we do every weekend and come out victorious.
What was it like lining up for real across from Logan Ferland?
It's nothing I'm not used to. I've done it for 3 years. Logan and I've had some really good battles in practice, and even after practice, we would always spend some time together and get some work just to refine our skills and stuff. So it's nothing I'm unfamiliar with. So I'm excited for it, and I was excited for it. It was a good time, I think, and it was a good battle last game.
Because they said you guys out-physicaled them. That was the biggest hit to their pride, was being out-physicaled. How important is that for the Calgary Stampeders? It's an important aspect for the Riders to be the more physical team. Is that the same standard in Calgary?
Oh, we play a physical brand of football. We pride ourselves on being physical. We pride ourselves on showing up every week. In the D-line room, we pride ourselves as tackles on being stout in doubles. However they feel about physicality, that's how they feel. But we take physicality very seriously. And we come to work when it's time to work every time.
Across the board on this defensive line, how good is it feeling? Like yourself and Hutchins and Orem Alade, how much pride have you taken in that group up front in how this season has started for the Calgary Stampeders?
I'm just proud of my guys, man. I'm proud of everybody in the room. I'm proud of Hutch. I'm proud of Flo and Hicks and everybody. Sambu. We all play a part in our success. We all show up to work. We all help each other sharpen our skills every day. And I'm just extremely proud of all of us. And I'm excited to see how much better we can be as the season progresses and as this thing comes to an end towards the, you know, towards November and then, you know, us getting to that Grey Cup. So
when we went into the season, I don't know how much you pay attention to, you know, off-season prognostications, but with so much change in Calgary, there was the expectation that it would be a slow start. How early into preseason, getting around the guys, did you know in your first year in Calgary going, no, this is a different group. We can get out of the gate hot.
Yeah, man, I think very early on, something I noticed initially, I just felt like I needed to commend Dave on doing such a great job putting this team together. I think we have a really good locker room. I think we have some very good, like, high character guys in the room. And we all care about the game. We all care about winning. And so I can't really put a date on when I knew, because I think the most exciting thing about this team and about the having high character, high quality character guys in the room is that these kind of guys, we show up to work every week. You know what I'm saying? So it's you know, to go out on a limb and say, oh yeah, we're going to beat everybody, we're going to do this or do that. You know, that's tease their own. You know, if that's what you want to do, it's what you want to do. But I think that for me, at least, it's more important to show up every day at work. And so I knew early on that I'm around a group of men who are going to show up every day, excited about the work, committed to the work, and ready to win.
How much do you think Craig might have had Dave's ear to say, we should bring in Miles Brown here on the defensive line?
Man, I hope Craig was putting in some good words for me. I can only hope so, and I'm glad it worked out the way it did.
So you this offseason, was it a tough one to leave Saskatchewan and go somewhere new?
Yeah, for sure. I was a little bit surprised by, you know, I guess like the lack of interest. And I think I was a little bit hopeful. I kind of made Saskatchewan. I was there for 3 years. It felt like a second home almost. But, you know, things happen as they should. God has a perfect plan, and I'm excited to be where I am.
It's because, you know, over the last few years, Miles, you know, that you've had some difficult times and those types of things on the field and, you know, players talking about suspensions. And even though you're a Stampeder, how many guys in the room in Saskatchewan do you appreciate? Because a lot of them had your back.
Oh, man, I appreciate all of them. Every man I had the opportunity to step on the field with, go to battle with, and beside, I appreciate them very much. And you know, when I was going through my rough times, even like my second year in Sask, I got injured. You know, I don't think there was ever a moment where I thought the people around me didn't care for me or didn't have my back. And I think I'll always appreciate them for that. But in that same token, they appreciate the nature of this game. You know what I'm saying? So I'm on the other side now.
Well, let's talk a little X's and O's going up against this Riders team. How is it frustrating for a defensive lineman to go up against Trevor Harris because he gets rid of the ball so quick?
It can be. It can be. But I think our guys on the back end do a great job. They did a great job the first game. I think they do a great job every week, and I think they will this weekend too.
And A.J. Ouellette, the way he runs, he embraces contact. Mm-hmm. And as defensive players, you also embrace contact. What's that matchup like when you go up against a rugged guy like A.J. Ouellette?
Not that it matters too much, because you have to show up every weekend. But I think the last time we played, I don't know how many yards he got. I don't think it was a lot. And our mentality is for it to be the same result this week.
Yeah, it was not a lot. You guys shut down the run pretty quick in Saskatchewan. How important is that to take away from the Riders' arsenal?
Well, we know that that's a part of their identity, trying to establish the run game. And it's hard to be yourself when someone can take away part of your identity. We look to establish ourselves on the defensive side in the run game. Every attempt they make, we looking for negative plays, stops at the line of scrimmage, and then we'll make Trevor have to beat us.
That is Miles Brown, the former Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Now a member of the Calgary Stampeders, holding down the interior of that defensive line. I liked him as a Rough Rider, but I'm pretty sure the something was cooking in the fire that Mike Rose might be coming here.
How they knew, because it's an upgrade. Mike Rose is an upgrade, but Miles Brown is a bona fide CFL player. Remember, got in trouble, suspended, hit late hits on Winnipeg Blue Bombers quarterbacks last year. Right. Not well, just called late
bumped
hits.
Into him.
Yeah, called like, late hits. Okay.
It was a low hit on Chris Streveler that had Wade Miller lose his mind, even though it was a short yardage play, and Miles Brown shoots the gap, and he's got to be low guy.
Yeah.
And it's not like he intentionally took the knee out from Streveler.
I didn't think they were dirty plays either. No. He's not a dirty player. I like the way he plays. He just got caught at the, doing. Or it was something that was questionable, and they want to make sure that they're protecting quarterbacks. So he took the wrath of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the league for some reason and answered every bell, right?
Yes, he
remember
did.
We asked him about it? We said, how come you're talking about this? I'm a professional football player. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to come out and deal with this. And he earned my respect. I was surprised they let him go too, Jamie, in the offseason, the fact that he was that they let him walk and but they must have had something known this was coming, who was going to be available in the offseason.
He says, okay, take away the run and let Trevor Harris try to beat us. Okay. Trevor Harris, last time out against the Stampeders, 400 yards passing. Vernon Adams Jr., last time out against the Saskatchewan Roughriders, over 400 yard passing.
Amazing. Hey?
Here is a question I have never asked on Bold Predictions in the history of this show. This is a time-coded question on passing yards for each quarterback. When will they eclipse the 200-yard mark for each, the 300-yard mark, and maybe you want to go out on a limb and say when they eclipse the 400-yard mark in this game? Now, if you say they won't, you'll get a point. So even if you don't think Vernon Adams Jr. is going to go over 300, you can say, nope, not going to happen. And then you'll get a point. But if you give me a time, you won't get a point. Okay. I'll go first because I am in the lead. I'll
two, keep three, and 400, right?
200 to 300 and 400 yards passing. Vernon Adams Jr. will pass the 200-yard mark with a minute left in the third quarter. He will not pass 400 or 300 yards. Trevor Harris will pass the 200-yard mark with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. He'll pass the 300-yard mark with 7.5 left in the fourth quarter, and he won't go over 400 yards. Belton, he looks like you're ready.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. So 200, right?
200 for Vernon Adams Jr. When does he go over that mark?
He's going to go over it. Oh, man, Jamie. Third quarter. It'll be early in the third quarter. It'll be 10 minutes.
10 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yep.
What about 300 yards?
300? That'll be in the fourth quarter. And, again, I'll go early in there. Let's go 9 minutes in the fourth.
9 minutes in the fourth quarter, and will he go over 400 yards?
No.
Trevor Harris, when does he go over 200 yards?
Oh, man, that one. Ooh. It'll be, that's a tough one, Jamie. 200, right?
Yep.
So let's go third quarter there as well, and I'll go 5 minutes left.
In the third quarter.
In the third.
300 yards.
He won't get it.
No. So you go no for both.
Yep.
Darrell Davis, what do you got for Vernon Adams Jr. going over 200 yards?
I don't think either quarterback's going to pass for 300. I think the defenses are going to take over this game, to be honest. Yeah. So Vernon Adams, 200 is normal. So 200, 1 minute into the fourth quarter for Vernon Adams Jr. Oh, sorry. For all CFL listeners of TS, VA.
Big play VA.
Okay.
Yeah, big play
so
VA.
No so for 300?
No for 300, no for 400. Trevor Harris, I think they're going to be slower too. Let's go 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. I think the defenses.
The fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think the defenses are going to shut, are really tightening up this
and
game.
And then no and no for 300 and 400.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They might be close. Like, I think they'll be close to 300, but. Yeah. 300 is a good number. I'm still amazed. That was a 24-10 game, and both quarterbacks were over 400 yards. Well, both over 425.
Yeah.
Amazing that happened. I think it wasn't that smoky. We could see them by the time they got on the field.
Yeah, on Saturday afternoon. Yeah, the smoke.
That was a long game, that one.
Oh, my goodness. We were on the air for a little bit that weekend. More to come here on the Green Zone pregame show. We'll go inside the green and white coming up here from Micah Johnson and Jermarcus Hardrick as well. Belton Johnson's tailgating tip. We may have already started eating it, to be quite honest. And we'll get into that when we go with who's going to eat. Coming up here on the Green Zone, Jamie, Daryl, and Belton with you on this Saturday afternoon, getting set for the Riders and the Stampeders at 5 o'clock on TSN. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show as the Rough Riders will take on the Calgary Stampeders at 5 o'clock at McMahon Stadium in Calgary. The top two teams in the league squaring off this afternoon. The only blemish on the Riders' record is that loss to Calgary back in week 6. As we go inside the green and white, and I ask Jermarcus Hardrick about that game. And as much as they keep saying, hey, after every win you're trying to learn, after every win you're trying to learn, is it just reality that you probably learn a lot more after a loss?
Man, when after we lose, man, I always watch a lot of film, but after you lose, you just it's just so much going through your head. What if, what if, what if? I just think after a loss, you can see a lot clearer in the mirror. And you don't, sometimes after a win, after a loss, like you really get a chance to look at it in a 2020 vision. And some people call it a wake-up call or whatever, but I wouldn't say it was needed, but it happened. And got to move on from it, got to grow from it, definitely got to learn from it. The biggest thing is learn from it. Not saying we're going to be perfect, don't know what's the outcome going to be, but just hope we put a better effort forward.
Well, how much do you think even Coach Mace learned from that? Like, after the bye week, pads were on against Hamilton. Pads were on this week going on. Like, do you sense of this growth of this team is making sure you don't make the same mistake twice?
I think it's a little bit of that, but I think Mace does a great job of talking to the leaders, asking us. It wasn't mandatory pads. He talked to guys. What do you guys need? What do you guys want? What periods do you want to wear pads? And, like, we only get a certain amount of time. So, like, it wasn't just came in hard. Like, Mace does a great job of just talking to us, asking us what we need, what he thinks we need, and they ain't meeting in the middle. It doesn't matter who's right. We want to be right. And I just think we're still trying to find the right thing to make us right. And those two times it made us right, so we just hope we keep working.
So in that conversation, what's the mentality of the vets going, yeah, let's put the pads on again this week?
Well, we don't get pads a lot, so it's always when you get 12, you know, what, 12 pads a year? So it's always – you're always looking forward to those. Well, me, I'm always looking forward to the days I can put pads on because you only get 12 of them, so you look forward to it. You can actually get fit-ups. You can actually work technique. You can actually get hit and not. So I look forward to pads, but a veteran like me, I look forward to a padded day. It feels like football. It's always football, but a padded day, I can actually touch somebody and hit them a little harder. So I look at every day like that. Every day is a work day, but with pads on, I like to play football.
Okay, what do you see across the line from you? Ormelade, Hicks, those guys, Miles Brown, who was here last year.
A great defensive front, even the guys behind them. But see guys playing well together, got some veterans over there. They got a lot of speed. They got a lot of power. They got guys who know how to rush. It's going to be a good challenge for us, man. And I'm excited. Respect the game no matter who we're playing. But they got some guys over there. You know, you said some names there. And, yeah, every week I lose sleep. And some weeks you lose more sleep than others. But it's a big week.
That is Jermarcus Hardrick, the leader on the offensive line. Belton, I love whenever they talk about we only get 12 days of pads in a print.
What? That's unbelievable. That was 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The old days.
Did you ever not practice with pads? Right. Back
that's
in the
what
day?
I'm saying, man. That's
two a days, 12. Both wearing pads you used to have, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow. 12. Okay. You got to use those at the right time, I guess, right?
So
Hardrick likes them.
After the loss to the Stampeders, the next week, pads were on. After the bye week with Hamilton, day one, pads were on.
Yeah.
Day one this week against Cal, pads were back on. So there's certain times Corey Mace, because they didn't put pads on after that first bye week.
Yeah.
Going up against Cal, and he was like, okay, here we go, ramping up the physicality in these big games. And as I said, it's not only the players learning. I think it's Corey Mace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a smart guy. He's learned a lot, and he doesn't make the same mistake twice, it seems like.
No, it's very rare. As we'll flip over to the defensive side of the football, I talked to another key veteran of this Rough Rider team in Micah Johnson, and I was joking. I said it earlier, the Michael Jordan meme. Oh, yeah. I took that personally. Is that the truth when it comes to the first game against the Stampeders?
Yeah, man, we took it personal. We take losses hard around here, let alone to lose at home. Super personal. So for us, next game up, but it just so happens to be the guys who came in here and kicked our butts last time. So guys are definitely excited to be, you know, going up against Calgary this week and hopefully get that one back.
Was that a wake-up call for this team a couple of weeks ago?
I mean, I guess you can call it a wake-up call. For us, it's just understanding, man, in the CFL, anybody can come out and win on any week, man. It's about who executes that day. We got out-executed. It was probably our worst game from a mental aspect. We had mental mistakes across the board from the D-line on back. So for us, it was really just about ourselves, man, correcting ourselves, because we know without those glaring mistakes we had, we still could have won that game. So for us, it was just about correcting things we need to correct. It gave us an opportunity to see some of our weaknesses, and we think we have corrected them over the past few weeks.
Yeah, schematically even. Yeah. Was it something to go, okay, they caught us on something, let's make some adjustments, and because we've seen this defense be the best in the league since?
I just think you got to be very gap sound against them. You got to kind of try to find balance. Their offense does a great job of the numbers game, we call it, getting you outnumbered in certain plays. But for us, it was just about us, man, schematically. I think we had an answer for everything they did schematically, but it was just executing. So, as defensive linemen, we know we have to be gap sound. And I guess that's more been our focus.
How advantageous is it now that you do have more weeks of Vernon Adams Jr. running that offense to see what they're doing with them and how that's going? Because they had so many changes this offseason.
It's a lot. Like you said, it's more film to kind of get out on them earlier on. Just guys trying to get a wrap of what their offense is trying to do, identify, you know, who were – their ball players in that offense and identify how they were trying to use them. And like you said, it's more film out there. It's more tape out there now on it. So I think we'll have some adjustments for it.
At the midway point of the season, how are you grading yourself out?
I'll give us a B plus. I give us a B plus or a B. I think it's
a hard grader.
I am, man. It's crazy. It's just one of those things. Just constantly, even when you make plays, even like, when you make sacks, you're thinking about the ones you missed. You're thinking about the mistakes you kind of made. So I will give us an A, man, but I know it sounds super cliche, but it's so much stuff we can get better at, man. So much mistakes we made.
So much stuff this defense can get better at over the last 4 weeks.
That's scary, if they could get much better than what they're playing now.
Over the last two, for sure. Yeah. There's not many teams that have been better. None that have been better in the league, I don't think. But looking at back, we talked about it earlier in the show, starting this season, they weren't playing great. We had high expectations for them. Those are big names along that defensive line. They rotate 9 guys through there, so the starting four should be fresh when it counts the most. And they weren't getting pressure on with that 3 or 4 man rush until they started blitzing. Mike Rose had a funny line for me today, or the other day too. He said, CJ's an honorary lineman now. He says he's just like one of us, because CJ Revis, the outside linebacker, has been blitzing so often that he's basically a part of that line now. So, and that's really made a huge difference. Quarterbacks have no time to throw against Saskatchewan's defense anymore.
And I agree with you on that. And it's, I don't know, I feel like the chemistry with that front seven point. Everything is
took a little while,
better.
Didn't it?
It did.
The gel, didn't it? That's a good point, Belton.
Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, I'm Jamie Nye. This is the Green Zone pregame show. I'll be honest, we're already eating, but we'll find out what the tailgating tip is. And who's going to eat next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME?